Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
We're kicking off a new series. I'm excited. Everybody say fake news. Oh, fake news. Not that we would know anything about that in our culture today, hey? We're gonna be talking about dealing with the lies and misbeliefs in current culture, but especially even in church, and the dangers of believing like ideologies that sound Christian and inspirational, but are actually not biblical and therefore not good for us. But first, I'm gonna test you on some fake news or real news. Okay, you just yell out whether you say fake or real. Okay, all right. Cinderella's castle in Disneyland burned down recently. Well, I had somebody come up to me and was like, did you know? And they showed me the article, and I looked it up, and, you know, Snopes or whatever, and it's like, you're right, that's fake. Okay, an elderly man in Georgia was distraught over the theft of his emotional support alligator. Fake or real?
Real.
Real. That's a real story, you guys. Here's another one. Pastor Monica is pregnant. No, fake. The Edmonton Oilers are going to destroy the Canucks in the playoffs. True. No, it's true in the name of Jesus. The early bird deadline for men, City Life Men's Weekend in the Wild is today. Nope, it's fake. It's next weekend. Men, if you have not signed up for City Life Men Weekend in the Wild, I really want you to come. Please come. It's going to be amazing. Get signed up sooner than later. All right. Anyways, fake news. Seems genuine, can be tricky. But once you dig past the surface, you realize it's fluff. And worse, it's actually dangerous a lot of times to believe in this stuff. And so in this series, we're going to look, here's what we're going to be hitting. As long as you're happy, I'm a good person, be true to yourself. And today we're going to talk about, I believe in Jesus and that's enough. You might be like, how is that fake news? I believe in Jesus. That is a very important thing. Absolutely. Okay, question. Hands up if you believe in Jesus. Cool. You are in the same category as demons. James 2:19. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble. We're going to dive more into James in just a little bit, but demons, which I, from my experience, are very real, and that's a whole, there's a whole supernatural realm, whether we recognize it or not, but even the demons tremble and believe in God. They are more aware than us about the reality of the supernatural. In fact, they are more aware of the true nature of God, even more than we are. We're learning all the time, discovering more, but they know, and they tremble, and yet, even though they believe, they're still demons. They don't follow God. They hate God. They absolutely deny him. Likewise, many people today would believe in God and live like demons. Now, of course, when I say that, you're like, oh, you know, like, yeah, like, ah, forget everything, anarchy, whatever. But I also think living like a demon can simply just be like, yeah, there's a God out there, but I'm still going to do my own thing. Disconnect. I don't want to follow that. That's cool that you're real. You don't have any relevance to my life. I will live the way I see fit. Which I would say, based on the same kind of thing, that's demonic living. So believing in Jesus is actually not enough. When I worked at the airport in my 20s, I was a baggage handler, and I remember this one day there was this guy who, I mean, you work with interesting characters, you know this, most of us have. And this guy was just like, all about the ladies, and he was literally just laying out all his current conquests, all the ladies he's sleeping with, way more detail than anyone should be saying, because he was so proud of this, whatever, just just laying it all out. And then he finishes, and someone's like, oh, so you're going to, you know, this weekend? He's like, well, yeah, I'll go out Saturday night, and then I'll go to church Sunday morning because I'm a Christian, and then I'll do that. And I remember I was in the room, and I think I started choking on whatever I was eating. And then I waited. I was not a very outspoken person then, but there was just like, that just like flipped a switch in me. But I waited. Everyone else left. And he's like walking out the door, and I kind of just stepped in front of him. I was like, hey, can I ask a question? You said that you're a Christian, right? He's like, yeah. I'm like, could you please not tell anyone that you're a Christian? You're ruining it for us. No, I'm not. That is, I said it to his face. You're ruining it for us. I was going to say you're ruining it for the rest of us, but I'm not going to put him in that category. There is no way, based on how you are describing and living your life, there is no way you are actually a Christ follower. You are just slapping a label on something. Which may sound judgmental, but as we're going to see, we actually can tell in many ways whether someone is genuinely a follower of Christ. So our job as Christ followers is actually to reflect Jesus to our world. And the foundation of faith, we need, our foundation is faith, but our reflection comes from how we show our faith. And so I want to talk about the importance of faith, but authentic faith that is more than just words and belief. You can put up the slide. Billy Graham, one of the most famous Christians in the last century, okay? This guy, like, our kids didn't know. We're like, oh, we got to go watch this special. You need to know Billy Graham. He said this, just to say I believe in Jesus can produce a false assurance of salvation because even the devil believes in Jesus. To believe in Jesus is to turn from a life of sin, receive him as Savior, and follow him as Lord by obeying his word. When this happens, a person's desires change as they begin to follow his teachings found in the Bible. No one goes to heaven because of their goodness. Those who accept Christ as their personal Savior go to heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus paid the price or paid the cost of your salvation with his blood, but there is a cost to following this wonderful Savior who came to seek and save lost souls. Do not miss the glory of walking with the one who loves you and cares about everything that happens in your life. Those who truly believe in him will want to obey him with joy, no matter the cost. Believing in Jesus is actually not enough. I can say that I believe in Jesus. I can come to church. I can be inspired by the message. I can pray the prayer to receive Jesus. I can say the words of faith, but then I can leave, and I might never think about that moment again. I might never think about God again. I don't come back to church. I don't pick up my Bible during the week. I never think to pray. I need to ask myself, am I actually saved? Have I actually received salvation, and has it brought a transformational in my life? How would I know? Real faith brings results. So we're going to look at what the Bible describes as good works. Okay, everyone say good works. All right, so good works are actions designed specifically to benefit others, which are characteristic or reflective of God. God requires and enables his people to do good, even though it is contrary to our very sinful human nature. Psalm 14:1 says, only fools say in their heart there is no God. They are corrupt and their actions are evil. Not one of them does good. God's looking around and he's like, no one at their core in their own sinful nature is actually good. We are inherently selfish, self-seeking, self-preserving. Only God could stir our hearts to do good works that actually benefit others instead of ourselves. Like legitimately, I'm not getting anything out of this, but I will do this for you because I reflect God. And maybe you're saying, well, wait a minute. Like, I know some really good people who do a lot of good things for others, but they don't believe in Jesus. Okay. And I mean, I don't know if there's a perfect answer to that, but just for me personally, like, I would say, to me, that's the evidence, though, that God's working in them. They haven't necessarily credited that to God. They haven't admitted they believe in this, but there's things God has been working that they're like, I believe this. Did you know that's actually an aspect of God? Really? Oh, I don't want to believe in God, but dang it, I see what he's doing to me. So I think God works through people, even if they wouldn't necessarily acknowledge him. But as Christ followers, we know we're called to good work to reflect Jesus to the world. God is pleased with good works. Hebrews 13:16 says, don't forget to do good and share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Now, people tend to swing in life, in any area. We tend to swing back and forth to extremes based on what we've discovered and whatever. I'm all about this. Oh, now I'm all about this. And I think that can happen to us too. So maybe you've thought, it's like, okay, I've got faith in Jesus. I got faith in Jesus, and that's enough. But now you're like, whoa, hold my faith. I got to get to work. This is how I'm going to be right with God. And so you're like, I need to please God, and he will only love me if I'm doing works. We need some balance. Works are important. Do good works. But remember, works can't save you. Being a good person will not save you. Doing good things in this world won't get you into heaven. So, Paul, in the Bible, one of the church's great leaders, he talks about this specifically, and he says this, two scriptures. In Ephesians 2, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. It is not from works, so that no one can boast. I did it, it's all me, I worked my way into heaven." No, we can't boast about that. And then he also says, "So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law." So wait, I'm confused. First you say faith isn't enough, and now you're saying works isn't enough. So which is it, faith or works? What do I do? Well, to get that answer, we need to pause on Paul, and we want to take a look at what Jesus' brother wrote. So James is the brother of Jesus, and he writes the book of James. Could you imagine being Jesus' actual brother? That's a whole thing in itself, but to be like, no, he's just a nice kid. He's not the savior of the world. And then he dies and comes back to life. And you're like, oh, shoot, you were right. That takes something to literally like bow at the feet. Could you do that to your brother or sister if they actually were the Messiah? That says something. He's all in. And James sounds like a really interesting guy, especially as you read this. This is a guy of action. He's really interesting. And he's writing this letter to Christians that are scattered abroad. Think of it like a mass email, just sending it out to everyone in the company. All right, guys, we just got word from corporate, and we got some new initiatives that we're going to be implementing across the board and clear up some confusion. The subject is a new merger of faith and works, and the purpose is to challenge believers to possess an active faith, one which will produce real changes in a person's conduct and character. So, when I read the Bible, I really like to put myself in it. I like to think, like, what would it be like in that moment? What would it be like to embrace that and really understand it? I wonder, like, what would it be like for James to, like, express his thoughts? So I'm just going to have a little fun here today, but this is just going to help me probably more than it helps you, okay? So, all right, okay, I need to do this letter, and I'm ready to go. I got a lot to dictate. Oh, perfect, my new intern here. What was your name again? Oh, it's Caleb, sir. Yeah, I'm ready. Okay, Caleb, great. Okay, so here's what we're going to do, Caleb. I hope you're faster than that quill. Here we go. You ready? Okay. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus, the anointed one, to the 12 tribes of Israel who are spread across the earth, I send you my warmest welcome. Okay, so James dives into the letter, and he starts hitting a lot of topics. He hits facing trials of many kind, walking in wisdom, dealing with temptation, and the part we play in God's plan. Okay. We have a special role in his plan. He calls us to life by his message of truth so that, did you catch that? So that? Yeah. Yeah, I got it. Okay, because that's important, okay? He calls us to his light by his message of truth so that we will show the rest of his creatures his goodness and love. Okay, get this next part. Put the word into action. If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find you have been deceived. If some fail to do what God requires, it's as if they forget the word as soon as they hear it. One minute they look in the mirror, and the next they forget who they are and what they look like. However, it is possible to open your eyes and take in the beautiful, perfect truth found in God's law of liberty and live by it. If you pursue the path and please underline this part, highlight, bold, okay. if you pursue the path and actually do what God has commanded, then you will avoid the many distractions that lead to an amnesia of all true things, and you will be blessed. Okay, let's get a checklist going. Let's make sure we also hit these topics. Taking care of orphans and widows. Yeah, okay. Don't play favorites. Then let's follow that up with love others as you love yourselves, and in judgment and mercy. Make sure you do that. Okay. Hello, James. Oh, yeah? Oh, hey, Frank, how's it going? What are you doing? Oh, you know, I'm just heading home after a long day, cold day of work, ready to go home to a hot meal. Got all this bread. I'm ready for it. But I just wanted to say shalom. Oh, well, shalom. Yeah, God is good. All right, have a good one. All right. Oh, look at that. Please, sir. Do you just have a little bit of change? Just something. Oh, look at you. Well, shalom, my friend. You should get inside where it's warm and eat something. I love Jesus. Caleb, get some fresh ink. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't make any sense to say you have faith and act in a way that denies that faith. Mere talk never gets you very far, and a commitment to Jesus only in words will not save you. It would be like seeing a brother or sister without any clothes out in the cold and begging for food and saying, "Shalom, friend, you should get inside where it's warm and eat something," but doing nothing about his needs, leaving him cold and alone on the street. What good would your words alone do? The same is true with faith. Without actions, faith is useless. By itself, it's as good as dead. Dang. You know what? Just give me a minute. I should probably practice what I preach. Where's that bread? Here, my friend. God bless you. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. All right. Okay. Right. Where were we? Faith without works is dead. Right. Okay. All right. Write this down. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith. Others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I'll show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the devil, even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember? This is a good part. This is important. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Mm-hmm. You see, his faith and his actions, they work together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God. God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So, you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. So, James argues that we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. And our good works play an important role. But wait, do you remember what Paul said before? Romans 3:28, he said, so we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. So wait, are these two fathers of faith, are they disagreeing? Are they in conflict with each other? Which is it faith or works? You know, James is saying we're shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Paul says, so we're made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. Now, this question admittedly has sparked church splits, has had a lot of ramifications. And do I know the perfect blend of herbs and spices to create the recipe for balancing works and faith? No, I do not. But I am convinced that Paul and James are not preaching opposing messages here. Why? I'll tell you why. It's because I paid attention to the series we did in March, The True Story of Life, where we talked about applying biblical things and learning how to read the Bible better. And some of those tips were things like this, which I applied. Looking at the context of what each person was saying and to whom it was written, determining what both meant by certain words, in this instance, works. That's a really important part. Here's a side question. What does the word bet mean? If you're a millennial, you'd say, well, it means to place a wager. But if you were Gen Z, you would say it means agreement. Like, are we still on for Saturday night? Bet. Same word. The same word can have different meanings. This is true in life, and it's true in the Bible as well. And if we look carefully, we see that Paul and James are talking about different issues. Paul is in the middle of a debate with Jewish Christians over whether Gentiles, who are non-Jewish people, must live like Jews to enter a family of faith. Do they have to act the same way we do, perfectly, follow all the same things, if they're actually going to belong? And he says, no one is made right with God by performing works of the law. That's not what's going to do it. You're made right by faith thanks to God's grace. For James, it's actually an entirely different situation when he's talking about works. The works he's talking about refer to God's people helping the needy, not whether Jew, non-Jew, that kind of stuff. He's concerned about shallow, insincere, hypocritical faith. Paul is talking about the root of salvation, that a person is saved by God's grace, received through faith. And James is talking about the fruit of salvation. Saving faith, that saving faith we get is a faith that actually works. So when they say works, they're using it in a different way, but both men are clearly preaching the same gospel, and throughout both writings, all of their writings, they'll argue that works are an important part of your faith, and that believing in Jesus is not enough. James claims that you can say you have faith and not actually have it. Any one of you here today could say, I'm a Christian. Doesn't mean everyone's telling the truth in their hearts, genuinely. For some people, it's legitimately a word. I'm a Christian. Oh, what does that mean to you? Oh, well, you know, I'm a CNE. I go to church on Christmas and Easter. And you know, I don't think about it any other time, but I go, and my parents are Christians, so that makes me a Christian. To some people, that's what that word, that's why it's good to clarify this is just, you know, a cultural tip that we all need to remember. Clarify what you mean by what you're saying, because we're all saying different things, even with the same word sometimes. But faith in our hearts is evident in the fruit of our lives. And just in case you're wondering, Jesus did say the same thing and weighed in on this. In Matthew 7, he says, people and their lives are like trees. Good trees bear beautiful, tasty fruit, but bad trees bear ugly, bitter fruit. A good tree cannot bear ugly, bitter fruit, nor can a bad tree bear fruit that is beautiful and tasty. And what happens to the rotten trees? They're cut down. They're used for firewood. When a prophet comes to you and preaches this or that, look. So he's saying, hey, you're going to hear a lot of things from people, from this platform, from TikTok, from whatever. You're going to hear a lot of perspectives. When that happens, look for the fruit. Sweet or sour, rotten or ripe? What is the fruit of their life? Because anyone can just say words. Yeah, right. Young people, can I just say, you are bombarded with words and opinions all the time. How on earth do you figure out what do I believe? You look for you do not look for just the fancy, ooh, the way he said that was so good. Can we just throw aside the flash? And you need to look for people in your life that are just consistent and like have followed. I like to call them the silver crowns in this church. Silver crowns who are just faithfully following Jesus. They are not the flashiest people in this room. They're not going to have the most X-worthy, I guess, quote or whatever, but the things they would say to you, young people, would set you up for life, would point you towards Jesus. There is power in that. And so it's not about the flash. I don't even know where I was going with that, but I think it's important. If you look at a tree that has apples hanging from the limbs, I bet you're going to tell me it's an apple tree. What is on the outside is evidence of what's on the inside. And that's what James is saying. Faith in our hearts is evident in the fruit of our lives. What is the fruit of your life? You say you believe in Jesus. Okay, what is the fruit of that? That's how I'll know. Again, I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I want to know, are you a Christian? Anyone can say the words. Show me. Show me that you're a Christ follower. What does that look like in your life? Why do we need to feed and clothe the hungry and the naked? Well, it's because we're not just marking off checklists. I'm not just like, did that, I'm a good Christian, or adding beans to my good boy jar, right? I did it again, yeah, look at me go. No, we're doing it because we have faith and we love Jesus, and it gives us pleasure to reflect God in this way. I have faith that Jesus loves people, so I will love people. I have faith that Jesus forgave me, so I will forgive others. I have faith that Jesus is making all things new and taking care of this world, so I'll pick up the garbage on the path that I didn't even drop. I'm playing my part. Now, I'm not, ooh, Henry rapper, higher level in heaven, look at me. You know, I threw it in the garbage, God. Make sure I want a real nice place in heaven. You know, that's not what I'm doing. Jesus, you care about this world. You're making all things new. I want to be like you. And I'm not going to stand in front of a mirror and say, hey, remember when you prayed? Remember when you prayed that prayer? Yeah, when you like prayed that prayer of faith, you're so golden. You're good. You're good. You're good. All right, talk to you next Sunday, Jesus. See you later. Gonna go do my thing. No. That faith is dead. It's shallow. It's empty. My faith is full and alive, and it requires me to do something with it. Christianity is actually not that complicated. Be with Jesus. Become like Jesus, and then carry on the mission of Jesus to his world. And that last part, that takes good works. That takes action. And one day, hopefully by living out our active life of faith, maybe you'll hear the words of Matthew 25. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Not just faithful in your thoughts. You were faithful over things I gave you to do and reflect. So I'll make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And when you get to the end of the life, you might ask, how will I know if my faith was real? I think the easiest way to know is to ask another question. Was there any fruit? What was the fruit of your life? I think that's a great indicator on whether you had genuine faith in a God who loves people, changes lives, makes things new. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. We read this verse, but there's more to it. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. But then Paul keeps going. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to sit and contemplate how wonderful and how faithful we are. And no, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's got a mission for you. Faith sitting in the harbor, playing with your rudder, not moving anywhere, does nothing. But as soon as you get out there and be like, God, I'm probably going to mess this up a lot. I'm going to try at work. I'm going to try here. I'm probably going to make a lot of mistakes, but I'm actually trying, God. Do what you want. You get to steer. You get to steer. He can work with that. That's a faith he can work with. Good works are not how we earn salvation. That is important to remember. I'm not saying that. But good works are our mission once we're saved. And if you don't live out your faith, did you actually have faith in the first place? That's actually a question only you and God can answer. So here's what I want everyone to do. I want you to quit your jobs, move to Africa, and become a missionary, okay? Actually, maybe some of you will do that. I don't know. It'd be a beautiful reality. No, faith and works is not just a Sunday morning thing or some ultra-Christian thing. It's a Monday to Friday thing. It's an everyday thing. Your works, I think, are expressed through your work. And maybe co-workers have made comments. I think this is the best compliment a Christ follower can ever get, is there's something different about you. What's different about you? Yes. And then they give examples, you know, like you don't cut corners like everyone else does, or you don't join in the office gossip like everyone else. Faith is made evident through integrity, consistency, and faithfulness. I believe God is honest and just, so I don't lie or cheat at work. I believe God is diligent and keeps his word, so I show up on time and I don't call in sick for me days. I believe God is intentional, so when I'm home with my kids all day, I'm not hiding in a closet on my phone. I'm teaching them about God and life. I believe God is loving, so I intentionally connect with that dude at work that nobody else seems to like. I believe God is holy, so I don't compromise when HR tells me to do or embrace something that doesn't line up with truth. Faith in Jesus should produce fruit through good works. What kind of fruit? That's a great question. If only there was a verse that talked about fruit that we would see in our lives. Oh, wait, there is. Galatians 5, 22, 23. What kind of fruit might produce in our lives? The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these fruits of the Spirit are displayed to our world through our actions. Come on, how does someone know if you have love in you? They'll see it by the thoughtful gift you give or the time you gave to them. How does someone know if you have joy? Probably by the smile on your face in hard times and easy times. How does someone know if you have peace? Well, you don't react to their aggressive social media comment. How does someone know if you have patience? You don't honk the horn or give the finger when they're driving so slow. The fruit is displayed through what we do. On and on it goes. Fruit is evident through our actions. Can we stand up? As I wrap up, it is so important. Again, we are not saved through works, but it plays a major role if you have been saved. Faith in Jesus is not enough. Faith is a lifestyle. It's not an internal dialogue. A me and Jesus, I believe, and that's all I need. No, it's a lifestyle that finds fulfillment in action. I believe that your journey with Jesus is not some reflective, introspective indie drama. A journey with Jesus is an action movie full of getting in the mess of people's lives and doing what God wants you to do and changing the world however he calls you to. So what about you? Where are you at? What does your faith look like? Is it dead faith that's just words but has no substance? Or is it a faith that you're living out? Do you just believe there's a God, there's a higher power out there? Or is your faith in a living God who is master of your life, someone you've actually handed control over to? Is your faith that you've become the hands of feet and God in this world and you're meant to be a reflection of him to his world? Is your faith full of fruit that is clearly seen by others? Monday to Friday, all the time, in different ways. At the start of the message, I shared a quote from Billy Graham about counting the cost of following Jesus, and I'll end with this quote. Salvation is absolutely free, but it will cost you your life in service to Christ. You can pray a prayer today. I hope you have. I hope you will. Start with, Jesus, I'm handing over my life to you, and I'm believing in faith that you are changing me. Salvation's free, but it will cost you your life in service to him. So, if I may, don't take this decision lightly. Don't just say words. If you're going to mean it, it's going to cost you, and it's better to know that up front, guys. Following Jesus will cost you so much. So much. But man, is it worth it. If you profess to have faith in Jesus, know that there's an expectation that comes with faith. God expects you to live out that faith through your works every day in every way. Fake news says, I believe in Jesus, that's enough. But the good news, the gospel says, I believe in Jesus, and because of that, I am compelled to reflect him to my world through my everyday good works. I want to be with Jesus. Maybe in this moment, you're choosing to be with Jesus. He is present with you right now. And you're allowing him to change your heart so you can become like Jesus. That's where you need to be right now. Fantastic. That is an amazing starting point. But if you're past that, and if you've meant it, you've prayed the prayer, you're like, I'm in with you, Jesus, it's time to get on mission if you're not. And if you are, thank you. Again, thank you to so many that just consistently follow Jesus, do their best at work, at home. I'm messing up all the time, God. I'm not doing this perfect, but boy, do I love you. Boy, do I want to show that. Not to earn any points with you, but simply because you're so worth it. I want to be like you, God. Can we close our eyes? I want to invite us to pray together because it really does start with faith. It's faith and works together, but it has to start by a faith that says, Jesus, you are Lord. And I want to invite you, maybe today, you can pray with all of us, but especially today, if you've never said yes to Jesus, and it's like, I want to be all in with Jesus. I recognize it's going to cost me, and yet I still am ready to just lay this all down at the cross. I want to invite you to pray with me and just say, Jesus, in this moment, I choose to follow you, not to add you to my life, but to hand over my whole life to you. Take control. Be my guide. Be my savior. Be my Lord. I trust you. Thank you that you trust me to reflect you to my world. Fill me with your spirit so I can reflect you well in all that I do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.